ธอผู้ว่าชายคุณจะเรียรีชายวันนมาดาวาชายคุณคุณจะเรียรีพิจารณาปลาบบาชายทีริบาโนราดีชายBijana palaba, jaya kiri baru dari, jaya kiri baru dari. Yesoda nanda nanda, daya baca jana nanda. Yesoda nanda nanda.
Shrimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananara Bhaktivananda, Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Ananda Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya, Namacharya Shrihidas Thakur Kijaya, Ramse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya,Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shayam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Vol.All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Dama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminit Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurani Pacharni. Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani.So, Om Magana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So it's good to see everybody. So just one announcement, and I'll make the same announcement at the end of class. Tomorrow our class will be a memorial service for one of my disciples who passed away. His name is Krishna Nama. And we're going to speak a little bit, but other devotees are going to speak at the memorial service, and the memorial service will be in the temple room. So you're invited to attend if you want to attend, but it won't be the regular Chaitanya Charitamrita class. It will be a memorial service glorifying a Vaishnava who passed away on Thursday. And he was a very, very nice devotee. So we're seeing so many devotees pass away from this material world and go back to be with Krishna. He passed away, of course, on Advaitacharya's appearance day, which is actually very auspicious. It said if you pass away on Advaitacharya's appearance day, then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya will take you back to the spiritual world, of course. I will probably pass away on Yamaraj's appearance day. And then Yamaraj will take me back to Yamaloka. Okay, but anyway, so Vaishnavas, they pass away. Whenever they pass away, it's auspicious for a Vaishnava. There's no question of inauspicious passing for a Vaishnava. Everything is auspicious. Whatever happens, even if a Vaishnava gets sick, it's Krishna's arrangement. Now, Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is everything, and he takes care of his devotees. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashati Tashaham Na Pranashami Sacha Me Na Pranashati. Krishna says, one should see me everywhere and see everything in me, and that way that person will never be lost to me, nor will I ever be lost to him. So now we're going to continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we're going to share the screen. We're on the 10th chapter of the Adi Leela, and we're starting today with text 68 of the 10th chapter. All right, describing many of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, and we tell very short stories about their pastimes as we're going through this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right, let's just move this out of the way. And let's move that. Okay, so wait a second. Okay, there we go. Prabhu Yanra Nichalaya Thoda Mocha Pada Yanra Putra Loha Patre Prabhu Pila Jala. Every day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly snatched fruits, flowers, and pulp from Shudhara and drank from his broken iron pot. And of course, this is Kolavecha Shudhar, who used to make his living by selling parts of the banana tree. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just bargain with him every day. And Kolavecha Shudhar, feeling completely frustrated with Lord Chaitanya's bargaining, would just give him whatever he needed at whatever price Lord Chaitanya was willing to pay. So, Prabhura Atipriya Dasa Bhagavan Pandita Yanra Dehe Krishna Purve Hoyla Adishtita. The 30th branch was Bhagavan Pandit. He was an extremely dear servant of the Lord, but even previously he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna who always kept the Lord within his heart. Jagadisha Pandidara Hiranya Mahashaya Yara Kripa Kaila Balye Prabhu Daya Maya. The 31st branch was Jagadish Pandit, and the 32nd was Hiranya Mahashaya, unto whom Lord Chaitanya in his childhood showed his causeless mercy. Jagadish Pandit was formerly a great dancer in Krishna Leela and was known as Chandrahasa. Regarding Hiranya Pandit, it is said that once, when Lord Nityananda, decorated with valuable jewels, was staying in his home, all night long a great thief attempted to plunder these jewels but was unsuccessful. Later he came to Lord Nityananda and surrendered unto him. I guess I should tell that story. So here is the story. That Lord Nityananda was having his kirtan performances every night there. And Lord Nityananda was not your ordinary devotee. He was an avaduta. Avaduta means he acted in ways that are quite unusual for devotees. Generally, you'll see devotees pretty austere. But Lord Nityananda, he wore all jewelry and diamonds and gold on his body. So, obviously, that attracted the attention of thieves. So the thieves, they were watching, and this head dacoit, or head thief, he had a whole band, he was watching. Whoa, we're going to steal from Lord Nityananda. So they were planning, and thinking, oh, it's going to be so great when we get all this money, all these jewels, we'll never have to work again, another day in our life. Of course, this is called laziness. Thieves, generally, they don't want to work a regular job because they are lazy. And sometimes, children are like that, too. That they don't understand how important life is because their parents are always treating them so softly. Whatever you have, whatever you want, we will give you. And so, the parents end up with the children there until the children are about 80 years old and the parents are 100 years old and the parents have to work supporting the children until they're 100 years old. Anyway, so these thieves were like that. So they were looking at the jewelry and they were planning. Oh, I will get this jewel, I will get that jewel. And what happened is while they were planning, they fell asleep. And so they didn't get a chance to rob that night. Okay, next night, they actually worship the goddess Chandi for the potency and strength to steal the jewels of Lord Nityananda. So they were planning. And they came to the house in the evening when the sun had gone down and everything was dark. And they saw these 10-foot-high Vaikuntha guards. Big, humongous people, devotees, of course, with big tilak on them. And they were chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. And these thieves, they got frightened. Oh my God, let's wait for a more auspicious time to steal these jewels. Okay, so they waited. Some days later, they thought, well, these guards are gone now. So they came back, sneaking around. And all of a sudden, the hail was coming from the sky and heavy rain. Such heavy rain was incredible. Hail, probably pus was coming from the sky too. I've never seen pus come from the sky, but I've seen hail. I've been in Vrindavan when the hailstones were actually the size of baseballs and harder than baseballs, and they were actually smashing windows and denting the cars. I mean, I had to just hide under something because it would have killed me if one of them had hit me. So anyway, so these hailstones were coming down, and it was just like terrible. And then they just were thrown into a ditch. They slipped, and they fell into ditches, and the worms were biting them, and and they became blinded. They couldn't see anything. So the head dacoit realized, we made a mistake. So we immediately, that is the next day, I guess he got a little bit of his sight back, he went to Lord Nityananda, begged for forgiveness. He became a great devotee. And from that day forward, he never stole again, and he worked a regular job to maintain his family, and he lived happily ever after as a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda wears all this jewelry to attract people to him, and ultimately they get his mercy. So that's the story that Prabhupada alluded to here in his purport. Okay, we will continue. Edwi gare prabhu ekadashi dine vishnura naivedya magi koilapane. In their two houses, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged food on the ekadashi day and personally ate it. Purport. The injunction is to fast. To fast on ekadashi is especially meant for devotees. On ekadashi, there are no restrictions regarding food that may be offered to the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the food of Lord Vishnu in his ecstasy as Vishnu Tattva. Actually, what happened is not that Lord Chaitanya showed a really bad example. That's not the point. Because one does not force the children to follow ekadashi before they are 8 years of age. And one does not have to follow ekadashi after one is 80 years of age. And I'm getting pretty close. So in both cases, it's not breaking the principles of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya was younger than 8. And as a very young kid, he said to his parents, I want the food that is offered to Lord Vishnu in this house of Hiranya. And his parents were thinking, how does he know that? Because they took him there and he got the Mahaprasadam. So that's the story. Prabhura paduya dwi purushottama sanjaya yakarane dwi shisha dwi mahashaya. The 33rd and 34th branches were the two students of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Purushottama and Sanjaya, who were stalwart students in grammar. They were very great personalities. These two students were inhabitants of Navadvip and were the Lord's first companions in the Sankirtan movement. Wow. According to the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Purushottama Sanjaya was the son of Mukunda Sanjaya, but the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has clarified that Purushottama and Sanjaya were two people, not one. Vanamali Pandita Shaka Vityata Chakate Sanara Mushalaha La Te Gila Prabhura Hate. Vanamali Pandit, the 35th branch of the tree, was very much celebrated in this world. He saw a golden club and plow in the hands of the Lord. Vanamali Pandit saw Lord Chaitanya in the ecstasy of Balaram. This is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Ancha Kanda, Chapter 9. Shri Chaitanya Rati Priya Bunimantakan Ajanma Gyakari Teno Sevaka Pradhan. The 36th branch, Bunimantakan, was extremely dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was always prepared to carry out the Lord's orders, and therefore he was considered to be a chief servant of the Lord. So, purport. Sri Bhudimanta Khan was one of the inhabitants of Navadvipa. He was very rich, and it is he who arranged for the marriage of Lord Chaitanya with Vishnupriya, the daughter of Sanatana Mishra, who was the priest of the local zamindar. He personally defrayed all the expenditures for the marriage ceremony. when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attacked by Vayu Vyadi, that is a derangement of the air within the body, Pudimanta Khan paid for all the requisite medicines and treatments to cure the Lord. He was the Lord's constant companion in the Kirtan movement. He collected ornaments for the Lord when he played the part of the goddess of fortune in the house of Chandrasekhara Acharya. He also went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was staying at Jagannath Puri. So as far as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being sick and having a derangement of life airs, that was not a material sickness. That sickness was due, wasn't actually a sickness, was due to the Vyavachari Bhavas, the ecstasies that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting. Garuda Panitalaya Srinama Mangala Namabale Vishakrayanra Nakarila Bala. Garuda Pandit, the 37th branch of the tree, always engaged in chanting the auspicious name of the Lord. Because of the strength of this chanting, even the effects of poison could not touch him. So Garuda Pandit was once bitten by a poisonous snake, but the snake's poison could not affect him because of his chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Gopinatha Singha Eka Chaitanya Radasa Akrura Bali Prabhu Ratyan Rekaila Parihasa. Gopinatha Singha, the 38th branch of the tree, was a faithful servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord jokingly addressed him as Akrura. And the purport prophet says, actually, he was Akrura, as stated in text 117 of the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika. Bhagavati Devananda Vrkeshwara Kripate Bhagavate Rabhakti Artha Paila Prabhu Hoite. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but by the mercy of Vrkeshwara Pandit and the grace of the Lord, he understood the devotional interpretation of the Bhagavatam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Majjhikanda, chapter 21, it is stated that Devananda Pandit and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's father, Visharada, lived in the same village. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like his interpretation of it. In the present town of Navadvip, which was formerly known as Kulia, Lord Chaitanya showed such mercy to him that he gave up the Mayavadi interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam and learned how to explain Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of bhakti. Formerly, when Devananda was expounding the Mayavadi interpretation, Srivas Thakur was once present in his meeting, and when he began to cry, Devananda's students drove him away. Some days later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that way, and when he met Devananda, he chastised him severely because of his Mayavada interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, Devananda had little faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of Lord Krishna. But one night, sometime later, Vrkeshwara Pandit was a guest in his house, and when he explained the science of Krishna, Devananda was convinced about the identity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, he was induced to explain Srimad Bhagavatam according to the Vaishnava understanding. In the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika 106, it is described that he was formerly Vaguri Muni, the Shava Pandit who recited Vedic literatures in the house of Nanda Maharaja. Some little details about this particular story. Once upon a time, Devananda Pandit was giving Bhagavatam class, and Srivas Thakur happened to stop by. And Srivas Thakur, when he was listening to the Bhagavatam, he experienced so much ecstasy, began to cry and roll on the ground. And Devananda Pandit's disciples, thinking that Srivas Thakur was actually creating a disturbance, just picked him up and chucked him out of the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So Devananda Pandit was responsible for the actions of his students. And actually, it's a fact that if one's students or disciples act improperly and the guru doesn't correct it, then the guru is actually responsible. The guru, teacher, same thing, is responsible. So then, shortly thereafter, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking by where Devananda Pandit was giving a class. And as Lord Chaitanya was walking by, Lord Chaitanya said in a very loud voice. This Devananda Pandit will never understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, he's a Mayavadi, obviously. And so Devananda Pandit didn't put too much heed to it. So he just thought, you know, whatever. This Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's a fanatic devotee. Later on, Prakashara Pandit, who, as you remember from the previous verses, was a great dancer, and he could dance for 72 hours without stopping. He was dancing, and there was a crowd surrounding him, and Devananda Pandit protected him from the crowd using his cane. And so by serving a Vaishnava, he later on got the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if you actually want to understand Bhagavatam, you have to serve a person Bhagavat. And you have to apologize to Srivas Thakur, who was offended. So he apologized to Srivas Thakur, who was offended. And Devananda Pandit became a great devotee, and he lived happily ever after. So I think we have one question here from Rakesh, a short question. So what's the question, Rakesh? You have your hand up.
Yes, could I please accept my humble obeisances? You said Vyabhichari Bhava. What does Bhava mean?
What does Bhava mean? Is that your question?
No. Vyabhichari. You said, actually, what I know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always had the Vipralamba Bhava, but you said he had a stomach gas and he had a Vyabhichari Bhava. He was...
Okay. Yeah, I'll explain that. So, it was explained in the previous purport that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a disturbance in the life airs. That doesn't necessarily mean a stomach problem. Disturbance in the life airs can cause all sorts of problems. It can cause psychological problems, physical problems in moving the limbs. It can also cause stomach problems. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing some disturbance in his life airs. And because he was experiencing some disturbance in his life airs, you know, they called for that doctor to help. However, it really wasn't a material disturbance in the life airs. It was the bhavas, you know, both the sanchari bhavas and the, actually, ashtasattvika bhavas that were manifesting within his body. And those bhavas were manifesting because of separation from Krishna. Vipralamba. A vipralamba means separation. So when one is experiencing separation, then these bhavas will manifest. For example, if one sees something that reminds one of Krishna, that's called a vibhava, or sees Krishna directly, or sees the deity, or hears a flute playing, and it reminds one of Krishna, that stimulates the other bhavas or emotions. And it may stimulate the bhavas or emotions in the mood of vipralamba. Vipralamba simply means the mood of separation. Oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like a yuga cycle. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world. In your absence, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in his Shikshashtika prayers. Okay, hope that answers that. Next texts 78-79. Kandava Simakunda Dasa Sri Raghunandana Narahadidasa Chiranjiva Silochana Esaba Mahashaka Chaitanya Kripadama Prema Polla Pulakare Yahantahandana. Sri Kandhavasi Mukunda and his son Raghunandana were the 39th branch of the tree. Narahari was the 40th. Chiranjiva the 41st. And Sulochana the 42nd. They were all big branches of the all-merciful tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They distributed the fruits and flowers of love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere. So Sri Mukunda Das was the son of Narayana Das and eldest brother of Narahari Sarakara. His second brother's name was Madhava Das and his son was named Raghunandana Das. Descendants of Raghunandana Das still live 4 miles west of Katwa in the village named Srikhanda, where Raghunandana Das used to live. Raghunandana had one son named Kanai, who had two sons, Madan Rai, who was a disciple of Narahari Thakur, and Vamshivadana. It is estimated that at least 400 men descended in this dynasty. All their names are recorded in the village of Srikhanda. In the Gauraganadesh Dipika, it is stated that the gopi whose name was Vrindadevi became Mukundadas, lived in Srikhanda village, and was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wonderful devotion and love for Krishna are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila, chapter 15. It is stated in the Bhaktiranakara, 8th wave, that Raghunandana used to serve a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narahari Dasa Sarakar was a very famous devotee. Lochan Das Thakur, the celebrated author of Sri Chaitanya Mangala, was his disciple. In the Chaitanya Mangala, it is stated that Sri Gadadhar Das and Narahari Sarakara were extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but there's no specific statement regarding the inhabitants of the village of Srikhanda. Chiranjiva and Sulochana were both residents of Srikhanda, where their descendants are still living. Chiranjiva's two sons, the elder Ramachandra Kaviraj, was a disciple of Srinivasacharya and an intimate associate of Narottama Das Thakur. The younger son was Govindadas Kaviraj, the famous Vaishnava poet. Chiranjiva's wife was Sunanda, and his father-in-law was Damodar Sena Kaviraj. Chiranjiva previously lived on the bank of the Ganges River in the village of Kumara Nagara. The Gauraganadesh Dipika 207 states that he was formerly Chandrika in Vrindavan. Wow. Just a few words here about Raghunandana. As mentioned in this purport and verse, that he was the son of Mukunda, who was a Vaidya. Vaidya means he was a doctor. So once upon a time, Mukunda, he had to go somewhere on some medical business. And when he went on medical business, he turned the deity worship over to his son, Raghunandana, who didn't know too much about the details of deity worship. But his father told him, just make sure Krishna gets something to eat. So Mukunda left. Raghunandana prepared some food, put it on the altar in front of the deity, and he said to the deity, without using any other mantra, eat, eat. And he did not see the deity eating. So there are several different versions of the story. One version is that he got angry with the deity and he said, eat. Another version, he just started crying. But in both versions, the deity got off the altar, sat down and ate everything on his plate. Reminded me, when I was a child, my mother would always say, you got to eat everything on your plate because people are starving in Europe. Whether that was connected or not is another issue. So, anyway, so he did this for some time. His father came back. His father said, and as Mukunda said, was Krishna eating? Or did you feed Krishna? And Raghunandana said, yes. However, he gave me a lot of trouble. He wouldn't eat right away, and I just had to cry and cry and whatever I had to do. He finally ate. And his father said, that's not how you offer to the deity. You don't actually see the deity eating. He eats with his ears. Angani yasha shakalen driyadriti manti. That the Lord has wonderful spiritual senses, and each and every one of those senses can act as any of the other senses. He can eat with his eyes. He can eat with his ears. He can eat with his nose. And do anything with any one of his senses, because that's the spiritual body of Satchidananda. Satchidananda Vigraha is described. So, Mukunda said this to his son, and Raghunandana said, no, Dad, he actually ate. And Mukunda said, come on, don't joke with me. And Raghunandana said, look, I'll show you. And so the father stood outside the temple, looked in through the window as Raghunandana began to offer some ladus to the deities. And what happened is he said, eat, 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 and the deity got down on the altar. And because Krishna had previously eaten such a big meal, he wasn't that hungry, so he only ate half a ladu. And when the father saw that is, Mukunda saw that, he just embraced his son and understood his son was actually better than him in Krishna consciousness. Later on, when they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, someone is commenting up there. Let's see what they have to say. Mukunda and Murari Gupta are not the same. They're both different personalities. They're actually different personalities. So anyway, so later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Mukunda and Raghunandana, he asked Mukunda, who's the father? And who was the son? And so Mukunda said, even though externally, let us say to our regular vision, Mukunda was the father, Mukunda actually said, Raghunandan is my father and I am the son. Because he's actually advanced in Krishna consciousness. So this is actually very interesting that we recognize someone's position, not so much because of the bodily situation, that is, what so-called varna they were born in, or what gender they are, or what nationality they are, whatever like that. We recognize someone's position according to their degree of devotion and realization. So in that particular case, Raghunandana was seen by his father to have a higher degree of devotion and even knowledge than the father. So the father respected the son as his father, like as his guru. Similar circumstance was there with Lord Kapiladev and Devahuti, his mother. Of course, generally the mothers give instructions to the sons. But in this particular instance, we have Kapiladev acting as the guru of his mother. And his mother is just taking shelter. Propanandam Tama Prabhu. I am taking shelter of you, my dear master. Imagine saying that to your son. I am taking shelter of you. Or your daughter. I am taking shelter of you. But in this particular case, it was recognized. So one should always recognize superior spirituality, no matter where that spirituality occurs. And Chanaka Pandit says something, not similar, but something a little parallel. He says, one should accept a wife, even from a low-class family, if she is high quality. So in the same way, you know, obviously that's material, no doubt about it. In the same way, one should accept someone as a great devotee, regardless of the family that they come in, just like Haridas Thakur, coming in a Muslim family, was the greatest devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and appointed as the Namacharya, not Madhvacharya. So, all right. Kulina Grama Vasi Sacharaja Ramananda Yarunatha Purushottama Shankara Vidyananda. Sacharaja Ramananda Yarunatha Purushottama Shankara and Vidyananda all belong to the 20th. Branch. They were inhabitants of the village known as Kulina Grama. Vaninath Vasuvari Yata Grami Jana Save Chaitanya Pracha Chaitanya Pranadana. All the inhabitants of Kulina Grama, headed by Vaninath Vasu, were servants of Lord Chaitanya, who was their only life and wealth. Prabhu kahi kulina gramera ye hoya kukura se mora priya hanya jana rahu dura. The Lord said, what to speak of others, even a dog in the village of Kulina Grama is my dear friend. Kulina gramira vagya kahane yatna yaya Shukaracharaya Doma Seha Krishna Gaiha. No one can describe the fortunate position of Kulina Grama. It is so sublime that even sweepers who tend their hogs there also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Anupama Balava Shirupa Sanatana Etina Shaka Vrikshera Paschime Sarvottama. On the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatana, Sri Rupa, and Anupama. They were the best of all. Sri Anupama was the father of Srila Jiva Goswami and younger brother of Sanatana Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami. His former name was Balava, but after Lord Chaitanya met him, he gave him the name Anupama. Because of working in the Muslim government, these three brothers were given the title Mulik. Our personal family is connected with the Muliks of Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta, and we often used to visit their Radha Govinda temple. That was on the opposite side of the street, actually, from Prabhupada's house. They belong to the same family as we do. Our family Gotra, or original genealogical line, is the Gautama Gotra, or line of disciples of Gautama Muni, and our surname is Day. But due to their accepting the posts of zamindars in the Muslim government, they received the title Mulik. Similarly, Rupa, Sanatana, and Balava were also given the title Mulik. Mulik means Lord. Just as the English government gives rich and respectable persons the title Lord, so the Muslims give the title Mulik to rich, respectable families that have intimate connections with the government. Thus, the title Mulik is found not only among the Muslims, but also among the Hindu aristocracy. This title is not restricted to the family, but is given to different families and castes. The qualifications for receiving it are wealth and respectability. Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami belong to the Bharadvaja Gotra, which indicates that they belong either to the family or disciplic succession of Bharadvaja Muni. As members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, we belong to the family or disciplic succession of Saraswati Goswami, and thus we are known as Saraswatas. Obeisances are therefore offered to the spiritual master as Saraswata Deva, or a member of the Saraswata family. Namaste Saraswate Deve, whose mission is to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaudavani Pracharini and to fight with the impersonalists and voidists Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Ichatarini. This was also the occupational duty of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Anupama Goswami. And if you didn't notice it, that is Prabhupada's second pranam mantra. Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pacharni, Nivashesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Deshatarni. And what Prabhupada didn't translate right here is they're fighting with the impersonalists and voidists in the Western world. Paschacha Deshatarni. So that is actually Srila Prabhupada. The genealogical table of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Balava Goswami can be traced back to the 12th century Shakabda, when a gentleman of the name Saragya appeared in a very rich and opulent Brahmin family in the province of Karnataka. He had two sons named Aniruddhara Rupeshra and Harihara, who were both bereft of their kingdoms and thus obliged to reside in the highlands. The son of Rupeshra, who was named Padmanabha, moved to a place in Bengal known as Naihati on the bank of the Ganges. There he had five sons, of whom the youngest, Mukunda, had a well-behaved son named Kumaradeva, who was the father of Rupa, Sanatana, and Balava. Kumaradeva lived in Apateyabad, an area bordering Bakla Chandra Dwipa in East Bengal, now Bangladesh. The present-day village of Prembag, which lies near Ramshara in the Jessore district of Bangladesh, is said to be the site of Kumara Deva's house. Of his many sons, three took to the path of Vaishnavism. Later, Sri Balava and his elder brothers, Sri Rupa and Sanatan, came from Chandradwipa to the village in the Malda district of Bengal known as Ramakeli. It is in this village that Srila Jiva Goswami took birth, accepting Ballabha as his father. Because of engaging in the service of the Muslim government, the three brothers received the title Mulik. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the village of Ramakeli, he met Ballabha there. Later, Sri Rupa Goswami, after meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, resigned from government service, and when he went to Vrindavan to meet Chaitanya, Ballabha accompanied him. The meeting of Rupa Goswami and Ballabha with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Allahabad is described in the Majjhalila, chapter 19. Actually, it is to be understood from the statement of Sanatana Goswami that Srila Rupa Goswami and Ballabha went to Vrindavan under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, they went to Mathura, where they met a gentleman named Subhuti Rai, who maintained himself by selling dry fuel wood. He was very pleased to meet Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupama, and he showed them the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Thus, they lived in Vrindavan for 1 month, and then again went to search for Sanatana Goswami. Following the course of the Ganges, they reached Allahabad, or Prayag Tirtha, but because Sanatana Goswami had come there by a different road, they did not meet him there. And when Sanatana Goswami came to Mathura, he was informed of the visit of Rupa Goswami and Anupama by Subhuti Rai. When Rupa Goswami and Anupama met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Benares, they heard about Sanatana Goswami's travels from him, and thus they returned to Bengal, adjusted their affairs with the state, and on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the Lord at Jagannath Puri. In the year 1436, Shakabda, that is the AD year 1514, the youngest brother, Anupama, died and went back home, back to Godhead. He went to the abode in the spiritual sky where Sri Ramachandra was situated, or is situated. At Jagannath Puri, Sri Rupa Goswami informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of this incident. Ballabha was a great devotee of Sri Ramachandra, therefore he could not consider seriously the worship of Radha Govinda according to the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra. In the Bhakti Ranakara, there is the following statement. Ballabha was given the name Anupama by Sri Gaurachandra, Gaurasundara, but he was always absorbed in the devotional service of Lord Ramachandra. He did not know anyone but Sri Ramachandra, but he knew that Chaitanya Goshai was the same Lord Ramachandra. In the Gauragana Deshtipika 180, Sri Rupa Goswami is described to be the gopi named Sri Rupa Manjari. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, there is a list of the books of Rupa Goswami compiled. Of all of his books, the following 16 are very popular among Vaishnavas. Hansaduta, Uddhava Sandesh, Krishna Janma Tithi Viri, and Radhakrishna Ganadesh Tipika, Brihat Major and Lagu Minor, Stavamala, Vidagda Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Dana Kelly Komadi, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the most celebrated book by Srila Rupa Goswami. Ujjala Nilamani, Adyata Chandrika, Mathura Mahima, Padyavali, Nataka Chandrika, and Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Sri Rupa Goswami gave up all family connection, joined the renounced order of life, and divided his money, giving 50% to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas and 25% to his Kutumba family members, and keeping 25% for personal emergencies. He met Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri, where he also met Lord Chaitanya and his other associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to praise the handwriting of Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami could compose verses according to the desires of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by his direction, he wrote two books named Lalita Madhava and Vidagda Madhava. Lord Chaitanya desired the two brothers, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, to publish many books in support of the Vaishnava religion. When Sanatana Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord advised him also to go to Vrindavan. Sri Sanatana Goswami is described in the Gauragana Deshtipika. He was formerly known as Rati Manjari and sometimes Lavanga Manjari. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is stated that his spiritual master, Vidya Vachaspati, sometimes stayed in the village of Ramakeli, and Sanatana Goswami studied all the Vedic literatures from him. He was so devoted to his spiritual master that this cannot be described. According to the Vedic system, if someone sees a Muslim, he must perform rituals to atone for the meeting. Sanatana Goswami always associated with the Muslim kings. Not giving much attention to the Vedic injunctions, he used to visit the houses of Muslim kings, and thus he considered himself to have been converted into a Muslim. He was therefore always very humble and meek. when Sanatan Goswami presented himself before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "I am always in association with lower class people and my behavior is therefore abominable." He actually belonged to a respectable Brahmin family, but because he considered his behavior to be abominable, he did not try to place himself among the Brahmins, but always remained among people of the lower castes. He wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas in Vaishnava Toshini, which is a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the year 1476, Shakabda, which corresponds with AD 1554. He completed the Brihad Vaishnava Toshini commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam in the year 1504, Shakabda, that is our year 1582. Srila Jiva Goswami published an edited version of the Brihad Vaishnava Toshini named Laghu Toshini. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his principles through four chief followers. Among them, Ramananda Roy is exceptional, for through him the Lord taught how a devotee can completely vanquish the power of Cupid. By Cupid's power, as soon as one sees a beautiful woman, he is conquered by her beauty. Sri Ramananda Roy, however, vanquished Cupid's pride. Indeed, while rehearsing the Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, he personally directed extremely beautiful young girls in dancing, but he was never affected by their youthful beauty. Sri Ramananda Roy personally bathed these girls, touching them and washing them with his own hands, yet he remained calm and passionless, as a great devotee should be. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certified that this was possible only for Ramananda Roy. Similarly, Damodar Pandit was notable for his objectivity as a critic. He did not even spare Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his criticism. This also cannot be imitated by anyone else. Haridas Thakur is so exceptional for his forbearance because although he was beaten with canes in 22 marketplaces, he was nevertheless tolerant. Similarly, Sri Sanatan Goswami, although he belonged to a most respectable Brahmin family, was exceptional in his humility and meekness. See how much more we have in this. We actually have quite a bit. All right. I think we're going to have to end and take some questions. The long purport. And some stories here. Okay, so this is, yeah, so we'll end here. All right, 68. Okay, so we will share now. Stop sharing and allow you all to ask some questions. Okay, who wants to ask a question? Let Gopal ask the question. What's the question, Gopal?
About Sanatan Goswami, Gurudev?
Yeah.
So the description is there that Sanatan Goswami was always so meek and humble because of his association with Muslims and his so-called behavior and so many reasons why he acted in such a humble manner, and yet we also see the pastimes of Krishna directly asking him, you know, get me some salt, worship me in a temple, and Sanatana Goswami directly told Krishna, no, I can't do that. So can you help me make sense of this seeming contradictory behavior?
Yes, because he considered the instructions of his spiritual master, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more important than Krishna's words. Yes. That's the
Thank
etiquette.
You.
That if there's a if Krishna tells you one thing and your spiritual master tells you another thing, of course, you know, not finally. Then you take your spiritual master's order as far as your service. I mean, of course, I have not had that problem that Krishna will tell me a different thing than Prabhupada, but that's the etiquette, because Lord Chaitanya said, concentrate on this. He said, you know, don't get so much into building temples or other things like that. Just concentrate on preaching and writing, and then let Krishna do the rest. And so he was following the order of his spiritual master. That's humility.
So when Krishna was asked, so Krishna being Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when Krishna was asking him to do something contrary, he was testing him?
No, it was a rasa exchange. I wouldn't say he was testing him so much. It's just that that's the etiquette. That one has to follow the order of the spiritual master. If the spiritual master tells you to do something, and Krishna says, no, I mean, it's not a problem that any of us have, so I wouldn't worry about it. Well, the problem that we mostly have is that the spiritual master tells us to do something, and our false ego and our mind tell us to do something else. So that's the problem. That's the practical problem. I wouldn't worry so much about Krishna coming off the altar and telling you to do something, saying you're having to tell Krishna, my spiritual master disagrees with you. It's not going to happen. Okay, so Praneshra, you had a question.
Gurudev, how to recognize he or she is more Krishna conscious in more Krishna conscious than us?
How to recognize who is more Krishna conscious?
Yes, like Devadant Pandit, he is saying, my son is more Krishna conscious and he is my spiritual master. And
well, if you have a son and he gets the deity to come off the altar, he's more, then your son is more Krishna conscious than you. Anyway, that's actually the Vaishnava's humility.
Yes.
A pure devotee considers other Vaishnavas, at least ones who are following strictly, at least ones who can get the deity to come off the altar, he considers them to be more advanced than him. That's humility. I'm not saying that in actuality Raghunandana was more advanced than Mukunda. I'm saying that that's what Mukunda's opinion was because he saw his son make Krishna come off the altar. So my statement, there's no statement that Mukunda is less advanced than Raghunandana. It's just Mukunda said that because he saw his son's great devotion. There's no Shastric statement that Mukunda was actually less advanced than Raghunandana. But a Vaishnava has great humility. I mean, just like if I see a disciple who does some great service, I'll actually think, oh, the disciple's better than me. Where's that disciple? Anyway, so, you know, if I see some disciple like take sannyas and make a whole country Krishna conscious, I'll say, wow, he's actually, you know, much better than me. I'm just like a peon here. So that's the humility of a Vaishnava. All right, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam.
Ah, the lady Kant.
Gurudev, when you were reading about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing pastimes of Lakshmi, wearing, some time ago you told that he used to perform various pastimes as a drama, and that's part of that?
Yeah, that was a drama. In the house of Srivas Thakur, he would actually play different parts. He played the part of Lakshmi, and Narada Muni played the part of an announcer and like a policeman, like in the house. So that, you know, he played different Vaishnava dramas.
Okay. And Gurudev, you also mentioned some time ago, he assumed the form of Narasimha Dev. Once.
Yes. Yeah. In Navadvipi, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got in the mood of Nrsimhadev and he was going around terrorizing everybody in Navadvip. Yes.
But that was not part of pastimes he was performing. I mean, not a drama, but it was real.
No, that wasn't a drama. That was scary. That was a scary thing. It wasn't a drama. He got in the mood of Lord Nrsimhadev and went all around Navadvip terrorizing everybody until he was reminded that he wasn't Lord Nrsimhadev. Also, today is the birthday of Jagannath Mohini. And if you don't know who Jagannath Mohini is, it's Praneshra's better half. Praneshra is the worst half, And his better half is Jagannath Mohini. So happy birthday, Jagannath Mohini.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Kindly bless me, Maharaj.
Blessings, blessings. Yeah, I hope to see you soon.
If Thank we can you get so to much. India.
At least by October, November, we'll be there by Krishna's grace. So happy birthday.
Thank you happy, so much, Maharaj.
You have a nice husband and a nice wife. Feed him nicely.
Yes, Maharaj.
All right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
All right, Nalini Kant, you had another question?
Yes, Gurudev. You mentioned about these performances, dramas are meant to be performed by pure devotees. So when
yes.
we do it in temple and others, so how does that work?
We shouldn't really do the intimate pastimes generally in the temple. Oh. In other words, I don't think you should dress up as the goddess of fortune.
Like, I'm asking with regards to kids, they are performing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Prabhupada authorized that. You know, we can do pastimes that will help us remember, but they should be done very, very carefully.
Okay.
Very, very carefully is not to give the impression that Radha and Krishna's relationship and pastimes is something mundane. Because one can get that. And also, you know, with the pastimes, certain pastimes, of course, are humorous. But other pastimes are not humorous. And we should not be doing pastimes that are not humorous in such a way that people are laughing.
Oh.
Like, for example, if you have the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev taking the intestines out of Hiranyakashipu, it's not funny. And I've seen devotees do that pastime and people start laughing. It's not funny. It's not a funny pastime. I mean, it's imagine how someone has his intestines. He's given mercy. It's actually a very wonderful, ecstatic pastime. But it's not funny that Hiranyakashipu had his intestines taken out.
Okay.
So one has to be very careful when they do plays to have the right mood. Because I've seen many times they were doing plays and the devotees actually have the wrong mood and they start laughing at something that's not laughable. I mean, some of Krishna's pastimes are very laughable, like when you have Madhu Mangal, who is actually Krishna's funny Brahmin friend, saying something or doing something is actually quite humorous. But to make a pastime that is actually very serious into a laughter, it's not very good. So one has to be very, very careful and do things properly.
Thank you, Gurudev.
So here, yeah. So Frank Govinda just reminded me that what was happening was there was a reading of the Vishnu Sahasranam in Srivasa's house, and when they got to the name of Lord Nrisimhadev, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started acting like Lord Nrisimhadev and terrorized all the residents of Navadvip until he was stopped. And that wasn't a humorous pastime. It was actually frightening. You know, so we have to be careful when we do plays. It shouldn't be just like cutesy-wootsy. Sometimes with children, you know, you do a play and it's so cute. But actually, it's this very serious, very, very serious play. I mean, you can have humorous plays too. I mean, like especially didactic plays can be very humorous. Didactic means teaching plays, like Bird in the Cage play or Boatman play, or plays like that can actually be quite humorous. But we have to be really careful not to make Krishna's pastimes that are serious into something that's a joke.
Yes.
Very, very careful. Okay, we're going to end now. Oh, yeah, just one announcement before we end. As tomorrow's class will be a memory ceremony for Krishna Nama, one of my devotees or disciples who passed away on Thursday. And he was a very wonderful devotee, always ready to serve the other Vaishnavas. And we'll miss him very much. And so devotees who knew him will get a chance to say something. So you're all invited to watch or participate if you actually knew him. But that's going to be tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening at the same time we normally do our class. And for those of you in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, which is, I think, the majority of you, that's going to be Monday morning. So Sunday night for us is Monday morning for all of you. Right now you're Sunday morning, and we are Saturday night here. Okay, on that happy note, thank you very much for joining us. All glories tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same